Good morning and welcome to the November 2018 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. And this monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of the global fertilizer prices, buy in bulk at the most opportune time. I'm your host, Jake Nieder, and we are excited to have you with us today. We are grateful to have you back, and hopefully harvest has gone well. And we know some of you are still in the middle of wrapping up, and appreciate you calling in and spending some time with us to talk about the global fertilizer market and then the global grain market. So we're going to plug forward with what we're picking up in the marketplace about the Indian tender today. So essentially the results came out with the Indian tender settling in at around a 330, in the mid-330s on a metric CFR basis. And when you think about that from a global perspective, that's around a 300 NOLA to 320 NOLA short ton number. And so what that means is that the global fertilizer market is still trading above where the U.S. market is trading at today. So we have had one of the major buyers step in, glean up a lot of the cheap tons in the marketplace. And we are seeing that the market is establishing a floor for nitrogen prices. And overall, we're finding a level where trade is establishing for the November-December timeframe. So India stepping in, gobbling up the cheap fertilizer tons has kind of established that floor price for urea fertilizer. And it's always that balancer to the nitrogen complex. Now, one thing that we've got to keep in mind here at home is we've got a lot of ammonia that usually goes down during the season. And we're in the middle of our ammonia season. And that basically starts the 1st of November. And the fall ammonia run is really weather dependent. And so we're in the middle of that ammonia season. And we don't know what type of ammonia season we'll have over the next coming weeks. And so the jury's out on how much ammonia application will go down. But right now, I think there's more of a pessimistic view on the amount of ammonia application that will actually get applied and consumed for the fall. And ultimately what that means is every ton of ammonia that doesn't go down for the fall is a ton of upgrade fertilizer or a ton of ammonia application that has to be done in the spring. And that really translates into more urea, more UAN that has to be bought for the spring, meaning more urea demand in the springtime. And so we're already calling for higher acres in corn next year, higher acres meaning more UAN, more urea. And so then we start adding in ammonia not getting applied for the fall. That really means more UAN, more urea that we're trying to push through the system in a very tight spring window. And so that is kind of one of our chief concerns as we think about how this global nitrogen S&D balances itself. So right now, the U.S. is trading a discount to the global prices, if you will. It's about a $15 to $20 discount to the global price setter in the world market, basically sending the signal, look, we don't need urea right now. We're going into the winter months. Don't send us urea. India's gobbling up all the tons. And so we don't anticipate a bunch of international cargoes coming here over December, January, unless they're under contract or under some form of formula mechanism of pricing. And so the U.S. market is going into that sleepy winter doldrums period. And that's the reason why we sent out about a week ago to 10 days ago the buy signal to all of you, because we're seeing that spread exist between the international market and the NOLA market. Some other things that we've seen in the nitrogen market too that we wanted to point out. We believe that there's also this production spread between Europe and the rest of the world. When we look at the high cost of production in the European market, where natural gas producers are producing, it costs them right now to buy natural gas around $8 an MMBTU. That's the cost or the measurement for natural gas. And when you convert that to a ton of urea, that says somewhere between $290 to $300 a ton of urea is what it takes for them to produce urea. So then you have to put that on a boat, bring that over to the U.S. Gulf. That may basically means $330 a ton is what it would take to bring urea over from Europe to the U.S. Gulf. So that being said, we really struggle to see the downside in the marketplace, because that's where your cost of production is being set at
in a global marketplace. One more factor we consider and weigh when we took into account our recommendations of why it's time to buy. Another thing that we're seeing too, and I just want to point this out, U.S. manufacturers, and I know a lot of you watch the U.S. manufacturers and you consider what they're doing and how much money they're making. We've talked about this before in the past. They've been buying natural gas in the $2 range, and so they've been producing a ton of urea sub $100 a ton. And so their upgrade margin to make urea has been tremendous. You know, they're not going to miss a day of producing urea if they can. And so what's happened is the cost of urea has more than doubled. We're now seeing natural gas prices up into the mid $4 an MMBTU. And so their margin has eroded rather significantly. It doesn't mean they're unprofitable, but it does mean that they're going to continue to push prices when and where they can push prices because their margin structure is eroded and they've been reaping the positive benefits of that margin structure. So you add in all those factors, and we're going to continue to see a push, if you will, for the producers to increase prices here in North America. And so the discounts, we believe, that are to be had are in the next 1 to 2 months as producers look for liquidity during the winter. That usually happens November, December, January. That's when the cheapest tons are had to be bought for the next coming months. And then as we get closer to spring, the optimism spreads. They hope for higher prices. They hold on for higher prices. And that's usually when they try to stick out for the higher prices. And again, that's what went into our thoughts for the recommendation, all these combinations. When we think about what would be the downside risk in urea, we look at where the cost of production is globally, and we look at where China could come out at on a global cost of production basis, where Eastern Europe could come out on a global cost of production. And again, we see a downside of maybe $10 to $15 maximum. And so we felt that the bet skew was very favorable to step in and start buying rather aggressively for our spring needs. And so that's why we shared that recommendation with you as well. That recommendation translates over into UAN as well. It is a harder product to get prices on because producers are not willing to forward price right now. And so that's not as readily and easily available for any of us to lock in on pricing. So if and when those numbers come available, I would encourage you to look at those strongly and to lock those prices in. BK, I do believe you're on the line now. I haven't gone through P&K yet. If you are on the line, would you like to give us any updates that you see on nitrogen, any differing point of view or even on P&K real quick?
I'll briefly touch on urea. Basically, we see a modest amount of weakness on NOLA urea. Again, somewhere in that $10 to $20 range, and that's probably looking at it from now through April. But beyond that, it's not there isn't really much of a reason to expect the U.S. market to get any weaker. We depending on who you talk to, we've had a pretty decent ammonia run, not a great one. It has had been expected about 60 days ago due to the weather. But there probably isn't going to be that much switching to urea because we did get some recovery late. So we don't necessarily see a bigger spike than normal in urea consumption in the U.S. this spring. Having said that, it's going to be a much nitrogen in general, and certainly urea will be in greater demand in the U.S. because of the expected switch over to corn from a lot of the soybean acres. That just makes the market even stronger. The imports aren't coming here, partly mostly, of course, because of the higher gas prices in some places, as you've already touched on, but because, frankly, the domestic producers will want to make sure they've also got their consumption taken care of, or they're going to make sure they get their product moved early on in the process. Moving on to P&K, we do see lower DAP prices or DAP and MAP prices through Q4 and into Q1. Just using it as looking for a benchmark here. We see CRUC's the Tampa price slipping, but not below $400. In fact, we actually don't see it slipping much below $410 as a point of reference between now and the end of April. There simply isn't enough supply out there yet. The shortfall is due in part to very slow production getting underway at the new Ma'aden plant in Saudi Arabia. And also, we've had very large yields, pardon me, in North America, and in some parts of South America. Argentina is having a hard time, but other markets are not having as difficult a time. The ground simply needs to be replenished. And again, with the switch over to corn, we foresee less mining of the soil than you might have had in a year where soybeans looked as a better bet. Having said that, the soybean demand in South America is quite strong, and I know others will go into that, so I won't belabor the point too much. But the sort of circle not circle of life, but the circle of demand, since the Chinese are not in a position to buy as much U.S. soybeans or any U.S. soybeans really, in the near term, we've got Argentina shipping its supply to China. And the U.S. Supply, it looks like a lot of it will end up going to Argentina. So one way or another, there's going to be plenty of reason for people to plant soybeans next year, even if it is down versus corn. And they're going to need to replenish the soil. So we do not see a heck of a lot of reduced phosphate demand in North America as a result. Just looking at our price forecast again, basically, we think there's a possibility of a low around 410 by April, but by then, everyone's going to need to have that's 410 Tampa price tag we're talking here. Everyone's going to need to have already purchased their needed phosphates for the current crop. So not a huge amount of reduction going on there, period. Potash, that has been in fact, the amount of potash demand that we've seen, or the amount of potash we've seen move in the U.S. Already has surprised us a little bit, frankly. We didn't think it would be quite so strong. When I spent some time talking to a lot of U.S. distributors in the last 2 weeks, all of them agreed that phosphate demand has disappointed them a little bit this fall. But potash demand has been quite strong. There isn't a lot in the supply chain. When we look overseas, we see very steady pricing. The China contract is settled at 290. The Brazil spot price continues to be better than the NOLA spot price, but they're fairly close. And usually, when you have a situation like that, the U.S. NOLA market or the import attraction for potash is the U.S. NOLA market gets a couple of $2 or $3 benefit from that, and the reason for that is getting through the ports in Brazil is a much tougher tougher situation because there's usually demurrage involved versus coming to the U.S. So the U.S. price doesn't necessarily have to be better than the Brazil price to effectively outbid the Brazilians for potash. All of these are bullish factors, however. So instead of seeing much of a decline in Q4 and into Q1, we see fairly flat prices. And then by the time we get to February, we expect to see prices in Brazil and in other global markets to start picking up. So that means growers who are looking to obtain the potash from suppliers outside of Canada are not going to see much support for lower prices. In fact, we don't see any support for lower prices. By the time we get into February and March, we see the Brazil price equivalent going up to $360, $365 in that range. And that really doesn't leave a lot of room for downside in the U.S. Again, there's no reason for us to expect reduced demand in the U.S. Despite the trouble moving U.S. soybeans to other markets, we think there's going to be plenty of demand there.
Thank you, BK. Appreciate the update. And we don't see it much differently either, particularly on the potash side. We see that we're kind of in the doldrum period where producers are going to kind of recount where they're at on the inventory, see what's moved out through the fall. We also expect a bit of a price increase in the U.S. market. They're already positioning, talking as such. And so our expectation is probably another $20 increase in potash prices. At least that's what they'll call for. Probably get a $5 or $10 increase in that. And that's what we're expecting to see on potash prices through the spring season. That will get us more in line with the Brazilian prices and where their expectations are globally. And to your point, we've seen stocks remain relatively low across the globe and also in the U.S. So it's not like there's been an oversupply and an overabundance in inventory build. So with that being said, potash prices appear to remain firm. We don't see a lot of relief coming from the two sources that have been talked about a lot in the marketplace, which has been K plus S and Eurochem. K plus S has not ran up to nameplate capacity or close to it yet. They've had some issues in getting the brine content that they've wanted and getting the output that they've wanted out of the solution mine. And so therefore, we're not quite running up to full speed where they wanted to be at. And then the Eurochem facility, again, that's a brand new facility. It's not a solution mine, but like all new mine projects, they never come up on time. They never come up at the rate on time. So we don't really call for them to affect the market until we get into Q2, which is going to be primarily past the spring season and what can affect anything in the U.S. spring season for this year. So on the phosphate piece, we are seeing the dip occur, a lot of what BK is talking about already. Really, the way it is right now, there's the prompt market and then there's the positioning for the fill market right now, and those markets are merging together. It's really kind of interesting from a NOLA perspective. The offers are, you know, 415 NOLA DAP barges, 420 NOLA MAP barges. But if you bid and you bid $10 below that, you'll end up owning it. And that's really resembling a fill number right now. So we're seeing NOLA MAP trading around 407, NOLA DAP trading around 405, which is where a lot of folks believe the fill numbers are going to be at for December. And that's kind of the indication where buyers are at for December and January. So that being said, I think that our prices have reflected a decent Jan Feb fill number, and we think that reflects kind of the reset in the phosphate market. So please get with your marketer on that, reflecting what we think's been kind of the reset on the phosphate market. We don't anticipate a further fall from there. Again, we're not also banging the drum saying we see a hell of a lot of upside in that price right now. What I would say is that what could drive the supply up further is we don't fully understand the effects of Mosaic shutting down the Plant City asset, and we don't fully understand the timing or downtime of Agrium's Redwater facility in Canada and losing that MAP supply. Those will be two drivers to this U.S. spring season and North American spring season that will drive the price of phosphates and local market phosphate prices up. We just don't know when and how much, and if that's a $5 increase or if that's a $50 increase, and we're not going to sit here and tell you that we have a clear picture on that, because with phosphates being somewhat of a lackluster call for product right now at the farm gate, it's one of those that we just think has been steady straight ahead, and so that's kind of what our call is on phosphates right now. So that covers the main ones. The one other one I wanted to at least mention is sulfate. I believe it is the sleeper product. I think it's the product with the most value that has had very little price movement, and it is going to have the most upside when you come to market to buy in your typical time. I believe it is a price that you should have considered to locked in for your spring movements. Sulfate's poised to, in my opinion, take a $30 to $40 price bump, because it typically trades in parity to urea, and it's trading significantly behind urea. As we get closer to the spring season, we'll see sulfate and sulfate products take a large move up. So that is one of the recommendations I put out there in front of you for your consideration. With that being said, that kind of wraps up our fertilizer portion at the moment. I do want to introduce Jordan today on the call. He has handled our global corn and sorghum trading desk, and he's going to give us an update on what he's seeing in the grain market real quick. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, so overall between corn and beans, we've seen some dynamics this last year that we haven't seen for many years. Basically, everyone's aware of the U.S.-China trade issues. So we've continued to see the trade flows shift dramatically on soybeans. And it looks like for at least the next quarter, maybe two quarters, not much is going to change. China's made it very clear that they can buy beans elsewhere. They have. They continue to look at South America. And then on the flip side, we see the U.S. has been able to find different destinations as well. So there's both positives and negatives, but the elephant in the room continues to be that, you know, what is the U.S. going to do with the ample supply of beans until we get the trade war kind of figured out? So it doesn't make you real friendly that beans should want to move in a big way until we see the trade war kind of get fixed. But, you know, if you look at on the flip side on corn has been very active. You know, we've been able to export more than what we would have anticipated over the last 12 months. You know, we saw a reduce in yield last week. We saw ending stocks reduction as well. You know, it paints a very good picture as we move into 2019 for Q1 and Q2. And if I look at the dynamics of the actual corn trade flows, you know, within the world right now, we've been very surprised in the Black Sea, specifically Ukraine. Ukraine has had no issues on production. Weather was good during the growing periods. And right now, the U.S. is feeling that effect. So we've had a kind of a slower Q4 of exports, mostly due to the demand that Ukraine has taken from the U.S. And it's been an interesting one. But on the flip side, I think it gives us opportunity for Q1 where the U.S. is going to be competitive. I think the U.S. is going to be able to take over a majority of the Asia market. You know, we'll see the U.S. Gulf kind of flow to Japan, and then you'll see the PNW take over the Korean, some Taiwan business. So I think it makes you pretty friendly from an actual trade flow perspective out of the U.S. And on the flip side, if we want to continue to compete against Ukraine, you know, we see a lot of demand out of China for Q1 that can only flow from Ukraine. So as we see all these increases on production ex Ukraine, there's a huge amount of demand. Whether, you know, China being probably the biggest one that will pull a lot of tonnage ex that origin. And then if we flip to South America, Argentina and Brazil. You know, it's been kind of disappointing in Brazil during Q4 as they just haven't exported what everybody thought. Again, part of that is due to transportation cost. And again, the farmer just wasn't selling corn in Brazil. So we'll see a little bit of demand out of Brazil that will flow to some typical U.S. destinations. But again, it still makes you pretty friendly from a U.S. Export capacity or an export execution standpoint. So as everybody kind of stated earlier, you know, we do see a shift of more corn acres versus beans. But again, we, you know, as you guys are aware, we have a lot of time still left for that. So I think as the price structures kind of change and the trade flows continue like they have been the last quarter, I think there'll be multiple debates and conversations on corn versus beans here for the next 3 to 4 months until we really start to get in the fields. Other than that, I mean, we have good trade flows. We do have positives from this U.S.-China issue right now on the bean front. But again, we'll kind of see what the next two quarters want to bring us.
All right. That'd be a wrap for our ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report for November 2018. And please join us next time on December 12th. For kind of a recap of where we're at on our recommendations, what's changed and what's going forward and what might be different. And until then, if you'd like to learn more about ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer, please go to ADMAdvantage.com, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk again next time.